Hallelujah. We serve a great God. Where's Brother Mercus? God is good all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 2. Gloria a Dios. Él es digno. Siempre digno. Es santo. Gloria a Dios. Praise God. That feels good. It's been a long time since I said that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel liberty here. Anybody feel the liberty of God's presence? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. You may be seated. I have preached from this passage many messages, different messages. There's one that I preached many times, the same message. But the Lord put this on my heart today. Praise God. We are his workmanship. Of course, we don't use that word very often. Maybe a better word is handiwork. I want to talk about the handiwork of God tonight. We are God's handiwork. Amen. I like that. The word workmanship comes from a word that, the same word we get poem from, if I understand it correctly, but it has to do with to do and to make. That's just basically what the word means. It's something that is made, but the emphasis is that it's made by hand, handiwork. So it means something that is made by hand. We are his handiwork. And I think the reason that's very important to understand is that some have a concept of a God that's a long way off, that somehow God doesn't care about us as individuals, that we have to make our own way and somehow prove to God that we're worthy, or somehow live successfully or live correctly and get God's attention. But in fact, we are his handiwork. That means his hand is upon us. That means he's at work in our lives. I think that's important. It's more than just that he knows us, but he's involved with us. If you've never been in this building before in your life, he's still involved in your life. Praise God. The scripture says he's not far from any one of us. If only we'll just reach out to him. We are his handiwork, his workmanship. One person said this means we're his masterpiece. I'm not very artistic. I gave up on art in second grade. And the only thing, how many of you have been around Madison a long time? Any of you remember the down on campus, there was a guy that was kind of a homeless guy, and his name was Art. And there was a T-shirt that said Art is a window washer, and Art would wash windows for change. So that's about my knowledge of Art. Is Art is a window washer. But we have artists among us. Amen. Jenny Manis is an artist. She teaches art. She's gifted. I have in my office some of Autumn Luscroft's work. I love Autumn's work. She's a very talented artist. And I suppose I have to mention Glenn Rossing. One of at home in my office as one of his prints I cherish. It was a gift. It's the anyway, I've got a couple of his works actually. And my mother-in-law, Karen Ebbison, is an artist, and we have several pieces of her artwork and prints, copies of her artwork in our house, and it always impresses me what these talented people can do, create something, take it from their understanding, from their mind, and create something on canvas or in clay or in taking various materials and creating something that sends a message, that gives us an impression of something. It's amazing. I love going to art museums, and I don't know that much about the different types of art. You know, I could name a couple of genres or types of art, but and I might be able to, in general, point out that I know that this is, you know, impressionist, or I know that that's cubist. Cubist is pretty easy to figure out. That's the ones where the people's faces are all different places on the canvas, you know. But art is amazing. And the thing about it is that every work of art is unique. Amen. No one will ever... I remember Glenn saying one time, trying to market his work, and... he did a lot of legwork himself and made calls and visited people. And he had one that was ducks landing on a pond. And the guy, he said, the guy told me, I'll try my best Glenn Rossing impression. The guy told me, he said, ducks over the pond. I got lots of ducks over the pond. But I know this. I know that no one else has done ducks over the pond the way Glenn Rossing has done ducks over the pond. Amen. Pottery is, there's a number of people here that are into pottery, the Knops, and my wife and I, we like to buy cups and mugs and stuff when we go places. But there are some, this is from the Grand Hotel. Anybody know where the Grand Hotel is? Amen. It's on Mackinac Island. It's a really cool place. We couldn't afford to stay there, but we... We did pay a lot of money for brunch there one day. And while we were there, I got a cup to remember how much I paid for my brunch. But there were a lot of cups that looked just like this one. Some of them different colors, kind of mass-produced. It means something to me because that was it was just a great trip that my wife and I had together on Mackinac Island. It was her idea. I thought it was going to be a bust, but it was great. It was a romantic week together. So everyone was happy. But more than those pieces of work that are kind of mass-produced, I like the individual artists, potters. This cup, I have six like this. I bought at Madison Recreation Department has a pottery class twice a year. And at the end of the session, they have a sale, and they sell the work of the people who are in that class. And I try to make it. I haven't made it for the last couple of times they've done it. But one time I went and I saw these glasses, cups, whatever you want to call them, and there were six of them. There's only three of them here because three of them are in the dishwasher at home. But this is my everyday cup. And maybe from far away they look a lot alike, but if you were to see all six of them together, you would notice. So when I bought them, that one of the teachers was in charge of the sale, was helping run the sale, and when I asked about these glasses, these cups, he was kind of made a face. Like, yeah. I said, well, what's the matter? He said, well, I made those, and I don't really like them much. Because he said, because, you know, they didn't really turn out the way I wanted them to. And I thought, man, I love them. And probably the thing that bothered him was that there is so much variation from one to the other. This one's a little thinner. This one's a little fatter. This one's kind of big on top. This one, you know, this one's got a little more striation on the side. Kind of like us. Some of us had a little more striation than others. And some of us a little thinner. But they're each unique, but they're all pretty much alike. And I'm positive that the same person made them all. Amen. See, we don't have to be exactly like each other in the kingdom of God. We're his handiwork. We are his handiwork. He makes us according to his plan. Amen. But hopefully when people see us, they know who the potter is. I know these came from the same place because they look alike, but they're a little bit different. Amen. And we know that we serve a holy God. That's why we talk about holiness around here, because we serve a holy God. And I want people to recognize the fact that I'm a Christian. Jesus said that if we're ashamed of him, then he's going to be ashamed of us. But if we show the light that's in us, if we show who our maker is, who our artist is, then he will be glorified and he will bless us. Amen. I'm glad to be, you know, I'm a lot different than I was. Made it a point during worship to look around tonight, and I love it when Pastor Claude wears his traditional garb to service. I just think that's the coolest thing, because he's proud of who he is and where he's from, right, Pastor? Amen. And I'm glad to call him my brother. And I'm glad to be a part of the family of God, but, you know, we're very different people. And so on the outside, obviously, you know, you look around. But even tonight, we're here, some of us ties and suits, some of us in jeans. But I didn't see anybody, you know, gathering in separate groups when we were up here worshiping God. The children, the adults, the suits and the jeans, we're all worshiping God together. We are his handiwork. God's working in our lives. He's shaping us into something. I have some other mugs here. Some of my favorites. They're done by a lady somewhere here in the Madison area in Dane County. Her name is Sonia. I can't vouch for her lifestyle, but I sure like her pottery. And you could probably find her online. And I'm so cheap, I would only buy one at a time. When I go to the craft show, or she's usually at Art Fair on the Square, and I saw these, and I really liked them, so I bought one. And then the next time I went, and I bought another one. Same lady. They're a little different because each one is handmade. And then I bought another one, but it's a little different color. And I wanted to get another one just like this, you know, the same color. So then I would have a set of four and two different colors. And guess what? The next time I went, she didn't have those kind anymore. They're still unique. They're still some of my favorites. I drink coffee out of those. And then this is what she had. which is a variation. Maybe you can't tell. It looks a lot like it, except that, I don't know, there's some texture on the side of this one, these three, that isn't on the side of that one. So it looks a little different. This one doesn't quite fit in. See, when it comes to pottery, there's a process. And I'm going to want to quick go through this. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but this is what, from WikiHow. In case you want to learn how to do pottery, just read WikiHow. There's the answer right there. It'll come just natural, I'm sure. I tried throwing a pot once. It didn't go very far. I really did try in an art class once, and it just went up and over. That's as far as I got. And that's why all the kids who make their parents something in clay, they make little plates because they're flat and round. So the first question you ask if you're going to make something make pottery is, are you setting out to make something functional or non-functional? Now, I know some of us, sometimes we feel non-functional. And I'm not making a joke there. I know that's true. Now, we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to tell people that. Hey, I'm feeling pretty non-functional today. We have names for it. Sometimes we feel worthless even. But I'm here to tell you, no matter who you are in this room today, that God never, ever, ever made a non-functional piece of humanity in all of his creation. Not once. He has a purpose and a plan for every one of us, for every soul on this planet. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't fail. And he certainly doesn't set out to make something that doesn't have a purpose. So we have to decide, are we making something functional or non-functional? That's a moot point where God is concerned. The second thing is, imagine the purpose, the size, the shape, and the color of the object you wish to make. Now that's where the creativity starts. And I've had a lot of really great ideas for paintings that I thought, boy, I wish I could do that. Or even photography, I find myself in a certain place and I think, that would be such a great picture. Too bad I don't know how to use a camera. Yeah, I know, everybody's got a phone. But there's a little difference when you start using the proper lenses for the proper situation. But you have to have an image in your mind, an idea of what you want to do. And that's the thing that we sometimes don't understand, is we compare ourselves to other people. We compare ourselves to our, maybe even our parents or our siblings or other members of the church. We think, how many of you have been to a class reunion recently? Anyone in the last 5 years been? Isn't that fun? Trying to imagine, how did that person make it so big? They just seemed like such a loser in high school. And why am I such a loser? But God has an image. He has an idea. He has a plan. We're designed for certain things. I'll come back to that again. God had a plan. The moment you came into existence, the Bible says that before we even existed, God knew that we were going to be here. And he had a plan for us. He knew us by name. He's got a plan. Pick your clay. Once you know what you're going to make, you have to be able to choose your material. Low-fire clays are great for bright colors and detailed decoration, but they're not super good in water. High-fire clays aren't so great with bright colors, but they're sturdy and waterproof and can be textured easily. Glazes may move when fired, so detailed images could get blurred. Amen. So I don't know if you're low-fire clay or high-fire clay, but because you're made of different stuff, that will help you understand what God's desire, God's plan and purpose for you is. Amen. Was mentioning to someone that Pastor Roy is not feeling well, and this brother said, well, you know, he went up there, it was a snowstorm, and he went up there anyway, and he went up there to work at camp, and he stayed there. And I said, well, he comes by that honestly. He is Brother Grant's son. There's some high fire clay there, if ever there was some. Praise God. But what am I saying? What I'm saying is some of us are just made of different stuff. And that's okay. Because we're His handiwork. Praise God. Decide which method will work best for your project. You have a few options. You can go on the potter's wheel. And then there's pinching by hand. This is best for small objects. Method is fairly straightforward. And then coiling, which is best for hollow or non-symmetrical objects. I didn't know there were so many different ways to do pottery. Or there's slab making. That's best for flat-sided objects. You put the sides of the clay onto the form. I think you get the idea that different processes. Some of us are going to go through some things that others of us won't have to go through, but God has a different plan. And then lastly, it says, go ahead and form away. Make your object come into being. Praise God. We're His handiwork. So here's something else I want to point out about these pieces. For example, these four, almost a set, but not quite a set. And if I ever find another one of these, it's gonna take this one's place. But I'm not going to get rid of this, because this is unique. And maybe you're at a place in your walk with God where you feel like you're just not fitting in like you thought you would. Maybe you're in an area of ministry. Maybe you're here tonight. And that's one of the reasons I started coming to church, because I didn't seem to fit anywhere out there. Praise God. God has a place for every one of us. And if you don't feel like you're right where you need to be, maybe God has you there for a reason. Maybe He needs you there for now. Maybe He's leading you somewhere else. Maybe He's got another set that you really are going to match up with when the time comes. But again, we're His handiwork. We have to trust that He knows what He's doing. He's got a place for us. And if I just decide to get rid of this piece and never use it again, well, I feel like that set's incomplete, for one thing. And I'll have wasted something valuable and worthwhile. Praise God. Don't ever let anyone, whether it's someone you know or the devil himself, tell you that you're not valuable or you're not worthwhile. Praise God. How do I know we're valuable? I know I'm valuable. I know you're valuable. I know each person in this place is valuable to God because Jesus Christ came and walked on this earth in human flesh, and He died on a cross and shed His blood to wash my sins away so that I could spend eternity with Him. And He did the same for every one of us here today. Praise God. See, these are fully formed. And until I drop them on the floor someday and they break into pieces, which I hope never happens, this is what they're going to look like. They're shaped, they're formed, they're made. And sometimes we think that we're in the same condition, but in fact, he's still making us what he wants us to be. He's still shaping us. He's still forming us. And what we need to have a heavenly perspective, because we don't know what we're going to be until we're with him in eternity. Eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, that which God has planned for those who love him. Praise God. I can't wait to see the complete version of myself when I'm in the presence of God. All of the imperfections, all of the failure and weakness and shortcomings will have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'll be a new creature all over again. See, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that if any man be in Christ, any man, woman, or child be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, I've changed. I know I'm a different person than I was before I came to the Lord, but there's still a long way for me to go. But I am a new creature. It's just that he's not done shaping me and forming me yet. Praise God. So don't worry if you're not quite to the point where you're ready to be fired and glazed and all shiny. We'll get there in his time. Everybody say, in his time. Praise God. See, God's not in the business of making cookie cutter Christians. Anybody here ever make Christmas cookies with those? I used to like it. I used to love it because I could eat Christmas cookies before Christmas then. But I remember using those cookie cutters, and if we baked a cookie, if one came out, you know, and the gingerbread man was missing a leg, we felt like we had the right to eat him because he was ruined, you see. This cookie's no good. It's missing a leg. Somebody better eat it. I guess it'll be me. But God's not going to destroy his creation. I said, God's not in the business of destroying his creation. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we're broken. That's why he came. We sang about it tonight. Praise God. I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. I'm not trying to fix the things that I did wrong, because I can't go back. Only I can let the great artist of my life work on me and make me into what he wants me to be. God's not interested in destroying you. He's not interested in throwing you out because of some imperfection. We're not all going to be the same, but we ought to all be recognizable as his handiwork. Praise God. There ought to be enough about us that shows us that he's at work in our lives. Amen. That's where faith comes in. Because I know I stumble. I know I fall. My faith is in him. I believe that he's with me. What if we do, wouldn't it be weird if the potter took this lump of clay and he got the wheel going? Now, they used to do it with their feet. Now they have electric buttons or whatever. It does it automatically. I imagine that some prefer still to do it with their feet because they have more control with the speed that way. It's more tactile, more intimate. You can feel what's going on. But wouldn't it be strange if that potter got the wheel going, took that lump of clay and threw it on the wheel, and suddenly out from the clay came two clay arms and started shaping the mud into whatever it wanted to be? Somebody's going to have bad dreams tonight. That isn't how it works, is it? The potter shapes the clay. He's the potter. We're the clay. I remember when Jane Rossing was still Jane Wittenbach, and she was about this tall, and Brother Ron Wittenbach was a Sunday school superintendent, and a couple of years in a row, Jane had the pleasure and the privilege, I think it was a pleasure, of standing in front of the whole church and singing, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Come on, sing along. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, Jupiter and Earth and Mercury and Mars. How long? Come on! I'm the only one that remembers it. That's terrible. Yeah, where's Jane? He's still working on me. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for every one of us. Here's something I caught in this passage, in this verse that I never saw before, and I checked it to make sure it was saying what it appeared to be saying, and it is. Look at this. Read this again. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship," his handiwork, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Which God hath before ordained, which God hath prepared beforehand. What has he foreordained? Not us. Not in that verse anyway. The thing that was before ordained or that was prepared ahead of time are the good works that we're supposed to do. God has already prepared a time and a place and a situation for you to fulfill his plan. He's got good works waiting for you to do down the road. He's just waiting for you to fulfill his purpose. See, that lump of clay can't form itself, but God can form his purpose in us if we'll let him work in us and obey his word and obey his call. And as we follow the voice of God, he's already got places prepared for us to do the work he's called us to. Check it out. That's what that verse is saying. To me, that's amazing. That's just amazing. He has foreordained the works that we can do in him. Hallelujah. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know me. You don't know what kind of person I am. You don't know the things I've done. Yeah, well, probably not. But most people here don't know all the things that I've done either. Thank the Lord for that. Things I did before I came to God. Some of the things I've done since I've come to God. But he's still working on me. You know, I don't know about a lot of the things that a lot of these other holy rollers did before they came to God either. And I'm kind of glad of that too. Because I don't need to know every little dirty secret about your past. All I know is you're my brother and you're my sister. And we're part of the family of God. So if you're here tonight and you've never joined the family of God, how would I do that, Pastor? The Bible says that we can repent. That means we ask God to forgive us. We admit that we're sinners. Anybody here admit you've sinned? All right. I don't know if you were watching, but everybody's hand went up. Admit that we're sinners. and ask God to forgive us for our sin and commit ourselves into his hands to not live that way anymore. That's repentance. Praise God. Feel that wheel spinning. Feel his hand in your life. That's why you're here tonight. The hand of the Lord is working on you, trying to shape you, trying to make you what you he wants. He's got plans for you. He's got a place. He's got a work for you to do, and he wants you to respond to his word as he deals with your heart. The Bible says when we repent, then we can be baptized in Jesus' name. And what happens is all of our sins are washed away. The Bible says, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered. Oh, you may remember it, but God refuses to remember it once it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God will not remember those things that you have repented for and have put under, when I say put under the blood, that means that you have been baptized in Jesus' name. And the reason that's important is because Jesus Christ was the one who died on the cross and his blood was shed. The Bible says that it's that blood that washes our sins away. It's the price that he paid for the sin that he is forgiving. Praise God. See, that I could never pay that price. The clay can never shape itself. There's only one who can pay the price for sin, and he has done so. And the way we take advantage of that is when we take on his name in water baptism. In the name of Jesus Christ, we get plunged underwater. Oh, it's a lot of fun. I could tell stories about people jumping in the water, Jim Knopp, about people so cold that when they came out, all they could do was shiver. Praise God. And God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It can happen tonight. Amen. We're his handiwork. I don't know a lot of things about a lot of lives that are here, but I know one thing, that Jesus Christ came and suffered and died for every one of us so that our sins could be forgiven. And God is no respecter of persons, the Bible says. Look at the three verses, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, at the beginning of the chapter. It says, and he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to the church people here. And he says, he made you alive because you were dead in sin. That's all of us, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Some of us are still walking according to the course of this world, but I've got good news for you. All of us were walking according to the course of this world at one time or another, and a lot of us don't have to anymore. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's our enemy, the devil, among whom also were once once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And then I want to look at 1 Corinthians 6, which says much the same thing, only it has one of those phrases that sticks. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Let me repeat that. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, that's something this world doesn't want to hear today. But it's been in the Bible since the New Testament has existed. And it's not going to change. What does it mean to be righteous? To be righteous means to have right standing with God. And the unrighteous will not... everybody goes to heaven. No, everybody doesn't go to heaven. The unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Praise God. 38 years ago, I couldn't even spell apostolic. Now I are one. You're a what? Apostolic. That means we believe what the apostles taught and preached because that's what Jesus gave to them. Such were some of you. Such was I. Such were you. But, everyone say but. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's the new birth I'm talking about. That's that baptism thing and that Holy Ghost thing. That's that. We're His handiwork. He's got a plan for every one of us. Now, maybe you haven't been into the waters of baptism, but that's His will. That's His desire. He wants to do a work in your life. Back to Ephesians where we started. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Praise God. He made us alive. We were dead men and women walking and we didn't even know it. But He's made us alive. And He's made us alive together. And raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God. If you, hallelujah. Yeah, let's worship. Let's praise Him for that. It's not an accident that word together showing up again and again because the book of Ephesians, is a lot of it is about the church and about what the church should be and what God's plan for the church was. It's not God's desire for you to somehow become a solo Christian. It's not in the book. And it's not in His plan. Together, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He's not done with us yet. There's going to be some marvelous and magnificent things we're going to do in the ages to come. I'm not fully shaped yet. You're not fully made. We're still going around the potter's wheel, but when He's done, there's going to be some marvelous things going on. He's got plans beyond our greatest imagination. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's a lot of people out there trying to live a Christian life. They've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's that clay with the arms thing going on. They're trying to shape themselves into something righteous. He's the potter. We're the clay. He's the artist. We're His handiwork. Jeremiah 18:1 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Say, made it again. He made it again. He made it again. He made it again into another vessel. It doesn't matter what your life has been up to this point. The great potter can make you again into another vessel. As it seemed good to the potter to make. Now this passage is a prophecy. The Lord is speaking to the nation of Israel. And He's telling them that they were disobedient. He said, you've been disobedient. But I'm not done with you. I'm still going to make something out of this nation, even though they have disobeyed me for these hundreds of years. But the same principle applies to every one of us here in this place. When a skilled potter works with clay, sometimes he finds the clay to be of the wrong consistency. And it's not going to stand up like he wants it to. It's not going to hold its shape just like he wants it to. And he may set it aside for a while. Sometimes in the clay, there's impurities. Even sometimes a potter will cut his hand on the stuff in the clay, and he has to break it down and pull that junk out. Don't you know that when that happens, that takes a little extra pride in fixing that up again? But it's not a problem. Nothing wrong with the potter. It's the clay. But the potter has a plan. And he's going to work with the clay until he's able to do with it what he wants to do. And he's not going to give up on you or me. Sometimes he sets it aside, but he'll come back to it. Sometimes he'll make it into something different. Maybe you started out thinking you were going to be one thing. But God has a different plan. I can tell you stories about my own life where that's how it worked out. Sometimes he'll mix something into that clay to make it usable. Maybe you really do need to find a good woman. But first you have to submit to the potter in every way. Because otherwise we're back to that clay shape in itself thing again, where I'm going to take control of this and I'm going to... No. Just let the potter work. Is that meddling, Pastor? Is that? That's pastoral, right? Is it? Okay, good. Hallelujah. We're his handiwork. He's the Almighty God, the creator of the universe. Don't you think he knows what to do with your life? He's still making us. Whether you've been filled with the Holy Ghost 100 years or you haven't yet been filled with the Holy Ghost, he's still making us. Let's stand. Hallelujah. There's one difference between humanity and the clay. Clay doesn't have a will. But you and I do. But this is where you decide whether or not you're going to put yourself in the hands of the potter or not. Be honest with yourself. Look at your own life. Do you really think you can do better than the one who created you? Do you really think you can shape yourself into something that you weren't designed to be? Don't you think the one who gave you life has a good idea of what you're designed for? Praise God. You can start all over again today by putting yourself in the potter's hands and say, Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to ask first, for those who have never repented of their sin, never been filled with the Holy Ghost, never been baptized in Jesus' name, I want to encourage you. You can come at any time. But I'm telling you that if you'll step out now and come down and pray, that's an act of faith. And nothing gets the potter excited more than faith when someone responds to his word. So I'm going to invite you to come out, walk down the aisle, come down to the front. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can lay on the floor if you want. However you feel like you can surrender yourself to God, just come and ask Jesus to change your life. And I promise you, He will make a work of art out of the life you give Him. Praise God. Maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you've been here a long time, maybe a little time, but you know there's some impurities. You know there's some things, some inconsistencies. Let Him work them out of you. Let Him spin you around a little bit. Praise God. He knows what He's doing. He's the master. Hallelujah. We are His handiwork. He's got a beautiful plan for you. He wants to make you into something eternally beautiful. Praise God. Come on. If you've never come down to the front before, tonight's the night.
I just want to move your heart.
Trust God. Trust Him. He knows what's best for you. You want to bring someone with you? Ask someone to come and pray with you. But come on down. Let God touch you. Let the Master shape you into His perfect vessel.
I just want to make you better.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I just want to make